Hi everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Real World Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 135, Why Fitness Matters More Than the Numbers on the Scale. Hi everyone, I am Shelly Rael, registered dietitian nutritionist, the host and founder of Real World Nutrition. And today, I really want to get to an important thing to help people understand why the number on the scale is so much less important than other factors. This world, in our world, we tend to be obsessed with numbers. And that number on the scale is really a number that is very misleading. And we really need to shift our focus to something that's more meaningful to assess our health, and that is fitness. Now, our measure of health isn't defined by a single number, but many things when it comes to fitness especially, because there's strength, there's endurance, there's overall wellness, and other physiological measures besides weight. So really, why should the fitness measures and these other health measures take precedence over the number on the scale? And how can we measure true progress or changes? Now, many of us have experienced the frustration of stepping on the scale week after week, or some people do it daily, hoping to see those numbers drop in a lot of cases. And they're often met with disappointment and confusion because they're working so hard for a goal that may not be reachable or achievable. Now, some people have given up on the scale completely, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So whether you have and use a scale or not, I really always emphasize this. The scale doesn't tell the whole story. It fails to account for factors like muscle mass and hydration levels and overall body composition, and it can be a misleading indicator of health and fitness. Now, BMI, or body mass index, is a commonly used tool for assessing weight status. It's calculated by dividing a person's weight in kilograms by the square of their height in meters. There is a way to measure it in English measurements, or I should say calculate it in English measures. I can never remember what that one is off the top of my head, but the weight in kilograms by the square of their height in meters, and there's plenty of apps that can do this, but I'm going to tell you why you should ignore this. So BMI is often touted as a measure of health. I still have people who use this in 2024. But it does have significant limitations, particularly when it comes to fitness. You see, BMI fails to distinguish between fat mass and muscle mass and all the other things that are in our body. It's meaning that people with higher muscle mass can be classified as overweight or having obesity despite being physically fit. And BMI doesn't account for differences in body composition among different populations, such as athletes or older adults. It doesn't even distinguish between male and female. So really, what this means that every single person on the planet that is 150 pounds and 5'6" tall has the same BMI, regardless of whether they're a 23-year-old male or a 67-year-old female. So instead of focusing on the scale or body mass index, this is where I say, let's consider focusing on your fitness and really emphasis on your fitness journey. So this means You're engaging in regular physical activity, and regular, not just for a couple months at a time and then stopping. And that physical activity should include both cardiorespiratory and strength training exercises. And this could lead to many health benefits, specifically beyond weight loss. So improved cardiovascular health, increased muscle tone, enhanced flexibility, improved mood, are just some of the perks that come with prioritizing your fitness. And when I emphasize your fitness journey, people often want to compare themselves to others, which is not appropriate since every single person is different. And I emphasize this because I've had many people who are training together in the same running group or doing the same fitness program. Competition is what some people do too. And really, it is not a way, we really should not compare ourselves to others at all. But people do it. And it's just a human nature thing. So I want to emphasize how you can measure progress in your fitness, in your health measures, without using the scale or BMI. So here's some metrics. How you feel. Pay attention to how you feel both during and after exercise. Are you having increased energy levels? Is your stress better? Do you have an improved mood? And these are all signs that your fitness level is improving. And yes, you may be sore after your first one or few workouts, but it gets better. It isn't as profound after several workouts. Now, next measure or way to consider improved fitness is changes in body composition. So, as I said, body composition is a measure of fat mass, muscle mass, and other lean tissues. So I'm not going to get into all the different types of doing that right now, that how to measure body composition, but really body composition is assessing what percentage of your body is fat versus fat-free mass. So that's the muscle, the bones, the organs, the skin. So changes in body composition. So again, rather than focusing solely on weight or BMI, consider tracking changes in that. Now, this can be in measuring a waist circumference. If you have the ability to do so, measuring your body fat percentage. And as you build up muscle and reduce fat, you may notice changes in how your clothes fit, how you look, how you feel in your own skin. And how your weight changes, it isn't just about how your pants fit, but your shirt, how your bra fits, and potentially even your shoes, your watch, and your rings. The body composition changes happen all over the body. A lot of people think they want to just reduce belly fat, and that just is not how things work in the human body when we do exercise, unless you're going for a surgical intervention. But your overall body will change. So again, things like shoes, bra size, and watches and rings will have a change. How about performance improvements? So this is another way to assess how you're doing. How is your fitness improving? The scale won't tell you this. So keep track of your performance in physical activities and workouts. Are you able to run faster or cover the same distance in less time? So that's really the same thing. It's just a different way of measuring it. So when I started out with running, it would take time for me to cover even just a mile or two. And then it just became easier. It didn't happen in a matter of a week or two. But over time, it became easier to run that same distance. It certainly became faster. And it took less time to cover the same distance. Or can you lift heavier weights? Are you doing a progressive overload where you're going up in weight, even if it's 1 or 2 pounds, and that's in weights in the exercise? Or can you perform more repetitions than before? Is doing the fitness class easier? So these are improvements that indicate progress in your fitness journey, and in a lot of cases, more rewarding than a number on the scale or BMI. And if you aren't noticing this, you can try to pick up the pace, try to increase weight or weight of the barbell, the dumbbell, the exercise plates, or you can increase the reps. You still need to continue to push yourself. So one of the things I've been doing is a weekly yoga class, and it is still very frustrating because I have a long way to go on my fitness when it comes to flexibility. And at the same time, I remind myself to keep doing it as each week will become easier. And in 3 months, 6 months, I will probably have better flexibility overall because I'm taking the time and having the patience to do this. Now, another way to assess your health and fitness is visual changes. So it's important not to fixate solely on outward appearances, while it is important not to fixate on outward appearances, visual changes can be a tangible reminder of your progress. So if you are okay with it, take progress photos periodically and compare snapshots taken months apart. You've seen these. If you haven't done them before, you certainly have seen them when people talk about different programs to help with their overall fitness. And again, you may be surprised at the difference, even if that scale or BMI didn't budge much at all. So if you do a search online of same weight, different body, you can see many examples of people who have photos of themselves at the same body weight, but with very different physiques. So that's something where there's pictures, they're listed in kilograms and in pounds, but there's some where somebody shows themselves at 160 pounds in two different pictures, and it's amazingly different, remarkably different. And if they were just focused on the number on the scale, do you think they would have kept going? And then body fat percentage. I've mentioned this a couple times, but let me get a little bit more detailed here. So body fat percentage is a far more accurate measure of health and fitness than body mass index. So as I said before, it represents the portion of fat mass to fat-free mass. And as I said, the fat-free mass is muscle, bone, organs, water, while fat mass is just that adipose tissue, just that fat tissue. And measuring body fat percentage is done using various methods, and that can include skinfold calipers, what's called bioelectrical impedance analysis, or BIA, or dual energy X-ray absorptometry, or the DEXA. That one's very expensive and not used much for assessing body composition. That's one they use to assess bone density as well. And there's underwater weighing. Now, the one that's going to probably be most accessible to most people is the body fat percentage method of using a skinfold caliper. Or the one that's probably most accessible is the BIA, or bioelectrical impedance analysis. And there's different companies that have methods using that. But here's another important thing, that those so-called norms for body fat percentage differ based on several factors. And that includes age, gender, ethnicity, and fitness level. So, for example, athletes typically have a lower body fat percentage than sedentary individuals of the same age and gender. And I happen to have the benefit of working at a university research institution that had various methods of measuring body composition, but also different norm values for different populations. Now, you're not going to see this in most places that you go, because again, this was a research institution. And so they had different so-called norms for different ethnicities. And it's just not, there's not a large population to study when it comes to these different populations for making up or having a guideline of what these so-called norms are. So just in the big picture, I want to say this is, don't pay attention to where you are on the scale compared to others or what is considered appropriate for you. What I tell people all the time is much more important is how your body composition changes. So yes, the number may not look good for you compared to other people. And again, this is the your fitness journey. So I would often tell people where when I would do the measurements with them, focus on changing your value there rather than what yours is compared to somebody else. And I know that's hard for a lot of people, but they would always ask, well, what does that mean on the scale of other people? And sometimes I would show them, sometimes I wouldn't, only in the sense of, I mean, of course they could look it up, but really say, hey, if you're 35% body fat, just making these numbers up, focus on getting it to 33 or 32, rather than saying, hey, that's too much fat for my body. Okay, work on changing it. All right, so if you want to know your body fat percentage, the best thing that I can recommend is check with your local gym and see if they offer this. Their doctor's office might, but I don't find that as common as if you check with your local gym. And if you're not a member, so you can check with a gym in which you're not a member and they may still offer it to you. It's just going to be at a higher price. Now, shifting our focus from the scale or the body mass index to overall fitness and body composition can help us adopt a more balanced and sustainable approach to health and wellness. So progress is not always linear. There will be ups and downs along the way. And it's not uncommon for there to be gains on the scale, but also fitness gains overall. And it can feel disappointing, but if you're doing the work or doing the workouts, you are making progress. I know to see a number on a scale week to week that's not changing or going in a direction that you're like, what is happening, can be disappointing. But I encourage you to keep doing your exercise, keep working on your fitness. And don't say muscle weighs more than fat, because muscle and fat weigh the same. One just takes up less space. Really embrace the journey. Celebrate your achievements. Prioritize the habits that contribute to your long-term health and happiness. So remember, the number on the scale and BMI are just one small piece of the puzzle when it comes to health and fitness. And by prioritizing fitness over these numbers, we can focus on meaningful indicators of progress that encompass both physical and mental well-being. So I encourage you to redefine success and celebrate these victories that truly matter on our journey to a healthier and happier and more fit life. All right, everyone, that is it for this week's episode. But I want to encourage you to do something, is consider scheduling a free 30-minute introductory call with me, and we could talk about some of these aspects of how to assess your health and fitness and how to optimize your nutrition related to that. So go ahead and check the link in the show notes. You can schedule a free 30-minute introductory call with me, and we can talk about how you can make progress without focusing on the number on the scale. All right, everyone, that is it for this week's episode of the Real World Nutrition Podcast. Take care and bye for now.